Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening, everyone, and cheers. This is the first episode of Bonding Over a Beer. If you've got your cold ones out, let's hear it. Oh, dear. Serious refreshment going on there. Joining me tonight in the virtual pub, well, it's none other than Mr. Tom Pickup and Mr. Chris Eales. Gents, how are you?
Great, mate. Very good,
Rob. Evening, chaps.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Just going to... Actually, it sounds like relieving oneself. So
have you already gone to the toilet?
The seal has already gone.
Yeah, going from the toilet.
At the top here, you know, like I've got my desktop screen and it's my Chrome thing and it's got all the bookmarks across the top and they are like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like... abbreviated, because I was looking at the role, like my local prison, the library is looking for an assistant, and I thought that'd be a really cool place to do a bit of part-time work, and it's been abbreviated as prison library ass. which is a heck of a position to apply for.
Absolutely brilliant.
So I've taken a photograph of the prison library ass. Right.
Thank you.
Now something that has often been talked about, which is something that the podcast gets said about it, but we're all really, really like to hear, is that it's like having a chat with friends down the pub, that kind of thing, and that you feel like you want to get involved in the discussion and stuff like that. So we thought, well, we've got a spare night. Why don't we get together, have a beer and chat some bond as if we were in the pub? Dead informal. We're going to have a bit of a natter. I've got a couple of things, though, in the true spirit of talking nonsense in your local boozer, a couple of topics that I was going to bring up. But before I do that, please catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Really007Pod. Shoot us your emails and give us your 5-star reviews, if you are so inclined, on your subscription listening service of choice. And cheers. So, first off, how are you both doing? Chris, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm in the middle of Pride season. I'm in the middle of a house move. I'm at the beginning of the summer holidays. I've got a summer holiday the week after. I'm a little bit on the ragged edge, but we're holding it together.
Well, so the perfect occasion, really, to let the proverbial hair down with a beer.
Exactly, yes. This is lovely.
Excellent. And Tom, how are you doing, man? Are you okay?
I'm great, Rob. Yeah, I'm also away from home and I'm trying to relax as best I can. When you're away, you still get emails and things, work to do. There's never any sort of relief, but this is exactly what we need, I think. Just mates having a chat about it.
Oh, yeah. This is it. I mean, for my part, tomorrow is our village carnival. So it's going to be a day of, I get excess in certain ways. You know, we're going to come home with so much tat. I don't, you know, like it's going to be, but it's going to be suddenly the most important tat ever. You know, like we absolutely have to play hook a duck until one of us wins a plastic gun. You know, that kind of thing. Well, and then we can, you know, pretend to be Bond with it. So that'll be all right. So I was thinking, I've been looking at someone that has come up in discussion quite a bit, and I think I've done a bit of a 180 on this. I think, and everyone in the Bond sort of community will have their own opinions on this, and I'm probably so wide of the mark here, but I've gone 180 on thinking that Ian aren't doing anything. And I think that Henry Cavill's already been cast and they're already shooting. And
that's the reaction you wanted, really.
Have we already gone deep end? Have we jumped the shark already?
This is not clickbait. No.
Not clickbait.
Right, so, well, and Bigfoot is the villain. Is that what you're going with next?
Hey, you've been listening to Rob, have you? Yeah.
Even I'm going to draw the line there on that one.
No.
No, I was thinking, like, right, how much bad stuff has happened to Cavill recently? Like, he's lost The Witcher. So this is on the basis of being, he's probably, he's regarded as one of the loveliest men out there and a very, very talented actor. And he looks blisteringly the part, doesn't he? That's not to say that he's everyone's choice or anything like that, but he definitely looks the part. He's lost The Witcher, which is like, it's a massive tentpole Netflix series, isn't it? And he's just done the third series. His performance has been reviewed incredibly well for the third series as well. And he's been replaced by Liam Hemsworth, hasn't he? And I don't know the circumstances. I don't really get in for all the gossipy stuff like that, because there's so much, like you say, you said the word, Tom, clickbait. There's so much clickbait out there about all sorts of this stuff. But then he's gone and lost Superman as well.
Yeah.
And I thought he was an amazing Superman. And he's suddenly been sort of extracted from these two massive properties. Is it because he's got a third monster property in the bag? Is that it? And the other one, the idea of them already shooting, I think that's just, Ian, they can't possibly be this incompetent. You know what I mean? Like, there is nothing happening. Like, there is nothing happening. And it's 4 years since they finished filming No Time to Die. It can't possibly be. So I'm thinking behind the scenes, I don't know whether it's a burst of positivity, maybe it's the single pint I've already had that's already gone to my head. I don't know. What do you guys think? Am I talking absolute rot?
I agree. I'd be absolutely amazed if nothing has been done behind the scenes, that meetings haven't taken place with potential actors, writers, and sort of the production. We know Purvis and Wade have been involved at some point. And we know that their ideas are already the same ideas that they had before, usually. But, yeah, even when we had, with the Daniel Craig, there's a lot of years gap between each film. They were doing stuff in between.
Yeah.
They were trying to get stuff made. They were trying to get him to sign. They then had to get directors. And they had, of course, the delay with Danny Boyle leaving and stuff. So there were usually reasons for delays. Yeah. I do think it was a deliberate break, a cinematic break, because they wanted us to sort of take it all in, drink it in, as Martin Tyler says. Or said one. Well, he doesn't bother anymore, doesn't he? He's gone now. But
no.
Yeah, they don't want it. I think they were thinking that it was a bit of this is a cultural moment that James Bond has died. And they wanted a little bit of time to settle and think, how good was that? And a victory lap.
Yeah.
And then they had the 60th anniversary. I think that would be one of the things which would be ringing alarm bells, is that they didn't really do an awful lot for that, did they? Which is like, I don't know, where's their motivation? What's their oomph at the moment?
I suppose, and that sort of, because it does look like apathy, doesn't it? Supreme disinterest. It can't be, can it? Chris, what are you thinking?
I think...
Are you taking notes?
Oh, I'm taking notes. Always taking notes.
Oh, yes!
Even in the pub,
so professional. <Come on. laughs>
I've had too many drinks already to not take notes. I've got to keep up with you guys. I think you're wrong and right. I think that stuff has happened already. I think they've got to be... Machine is in motion. It's got to be. I don't think Henry Cavill has already been cast, and I don't think they're already filming. Something as big as a Bond production could not go under the radar like that in the film world unless it's some indie small budget thing that they're going to release as completely off the wall and completely separate to all of the other films in the franchise. As far as where we are, and Tom, what you were saying, in the process, when was No Time to Die originally supposed to have been released? It was pre-COVID almost, and that set us back 2-3 releases. Then we had the 60th anniversary, which, yes, there wasn't much for, and it ended up being a Daniel Craig victory lap connected with the fantastic concert, it has to be said, and that Music of Bond documentary. But that was it, short of all of the films being re-released in the cinema, which again was great, but it wasn't an Eon-backed big thing, and it wasn't made a massive event of. So I think the whole COVID period was a stumbling block, but I don't think it's stopped us to the degree where nothing is happening right now, which Barbara and Michael keep saying, oh yes, we haven't thought of anything, we haven't even started casting, no, we're going to be doing other thing, no, don't worry about that. It's like, no, stuff has to have been happening.
I hope so. Please. I mean, like, do you feel frustrated though, Chris, by it?
I was going to say I do and I don't, but no, if I'm honest, I do feel frustrated. It's that they're sitting on this massive franchise and this massive thing that the people want, the public want. And as I said, No Time to Die finished filming years ago.
It literally
years ago. Okay, the release was hampered. But even so, you can still, in the background, in your lockdown office, be having Zoom conversations together as to what is going to happen next. Let's not just leave it up to Purvis and Butthead to put together the script and then...
You've been listening, haven't you, Chris?
Yeah. I know. You know I'm a big fan. This is the point where I came to a realisation the other day, Chris, like where I was like, hang on a minute, I've talked so much about how unhappy I am about certain aspects of the current state of play that I'm never going to get to write for this, am I? You know, like, I've literally jettisoned any chance I've got.
I can remember the, was it the first anniversary podcast that you guys did and you read your
Dalton
spin-off book? And I was like, this is amazing. But you can just feel it now. This is never going to get published.
It's never. I said to my agent, right, sorry, that's such the Rudy Doody expression, but that is not a nice thing to, you know, it sounds stupid, not how I like to be perceived, but I was chatting to my agent, and you can imagine, like, we're always looking for a hit, or we're always looking for something that we can do that's going to actually, you know, work. And I said, like, so I'm currently writing a James Bond novel about a mid-60s James Bond who's settled down and things go wrong. And she said, like, all right. do you know anyone at the Fleming estate? No, more than that, I've been bad-mouthing the current state of Bond for years.
Yeah. Well, no, you say this. There is a very big separation between Eon and the films and the Ian Fleming publishers and the books. You know, they sit side by side, but they don't intermingle, shall we say, very much.
Right.
Certainly the Fleming publication body is going off and doing its own thing with Double or Nothing with Kim Sherwood, and then the new Bond book, oh heavens, On His Majesty's Secret Service. Yeah. And then also they released
the Anthony
Horowitz book.
Yes.
Mind to Kill?
A Time to Kill. So in the space of a year, we've had three new Bond books.
Yeah.
Each one individual and different. Terrific to read.
Well, they're in their own unit.
And what have we had from the films?
No, you're absolutely right. It's crazy that the Fleming estate is actually doing more with James Bond at the minute than Eon are. You know, my agent said, carry on writing it, because if you really want to write it, that's cool. And I do really want to write it. So I'm much further on with it than when I read it you know, back then. I know who, yeah, I know exactly where I'm going and what I'm doing with it. It's just you can't prioritise the unpaid fan fiction stuff that you want to do. But she reminded me, my agent, she said that it's going to be, look, the sort of copyright is going to expire on this at some point. You know, like, and you'll be able to, you know, just like right now, that people are pumping Sherlock Holmes stuff out all over the place. You know, like.
That's true, Rob. If you remember, I don't know if you remember, like David and Anthony, you know, Licensed to Queer, went to Japan, didn't they?
Yeah.
And it was a Casino Royale, you know, an all-female production, musical production of Casino Royale.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on, Ian, have they licensed this? No, because that's 70 years old now.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know whether it's partly the international thing.
There is, apparently there is a loophole in the 70-year window internationally. I think it might specifically be in Japan as well. Like, it's so eye of the needle specific that they could do this with Casino Royale. The fact that it is
an
all-female musical stage production, which from
it.
The films and pictures that I've seen is as camp as it sounds.
If you're gonna, it's canon. Yeah, if you're gonna do something like and adapt something, swing for those fences. Seriously, I love it. Yeah, don't no half measures here. Absolutely, go for it. I love it. I
everything
love it.
Or nothing, as they say.
Everything very little. Everything or nothing. what do you think? Like, so do you not think there's any chance at all? Because I just keep thinking that. I suppose this is the age we live in. It would never happen that, you know, like on, what was it, Return of the Jedi, when it was filming in secret in the forest down south, you know, that kind of thing. And we all like, you know, it only emerged later on and it was called something like a code word, wasn't it? I can't remember what it was called, Jedi. So you don't think like somewhere Bond is secretly filming under a code name?
I hate to say it, but no, the age that we live in of social media and the 24-hour news cycle that has to be fed at all times. If someone suddenly discovered that the new Bond has been cast, it would be everywhere. And we would probably know about it before the majority of the public because of our predilection for Bond and being on all of the social media with it. We would know.
Maybe, Tom, maybe we've already been told because on social media, we do get the odd person who says that I've auditioned for Bond. And who say, you know, like, I did a screen test in front of Barbara and Michael G. Wilson and, you know, like, wow. I think that's when you know that you're reaching people. It's when these incredible characters, with fake news come out.
To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised right now if I heard if Bert and Ernie had done a casting session.
Thank you.
Well, that's what I mean. So, like, this week it's just come out that Cavill did a great audition for Bond. And for me it felt a little bit like, hey, here's a little reminder. Let's seed it that this is not totally out there. You know, the PR machines work in weird ways, don't they?
Well, they're giving a few of these sort of fake stories, aren't we? You know, like the that woman off, is it Our Country? I don't even know what it is. That comedian she's from UM and all this.
Yes, yes.
And you occasionally get
Dave Cooper, is it?
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it could be rubbish, but who's, has somebody put it in there to distract? Or is it just, you know, come on, give us something. We'll make something up and see whether that.
Yeah.
I don't know. You might be right, Rob, that. If you look back, I think people were saying obviously times were different, but when Daniel Craig was cast, someone was looking back through old newspapers and things. Was there anything in the build-up?
Yeah.
You know, that said, this is this guy. Look out, this could be him. And there were a few little rumours about, but they didn't get much traction because I suppose people thought Pierce was still Bond. And then, I don't know. You couldn't get away with that now, I suppose, is the point.
No. And it's strange. And it's such a testament to the enduring love for the franchise as well, isn't it? That these stories, for a series that's not had a movie out for 4 years. Oh, well, no, it was out 2 years ago, wasn't it? But it's not essentially, it's not had anything in production for four years. No. And everyone's like, ah, you know, absolutely desperate for some news, bursting for some news. Right, if it emerged that they have been, right, just humour me, that they have been filming it, right? They have been filming it somewhere. Okay. Two things, okay. If you heard Bond has been filming under the name da-da-da blank in da-da-da blank, what two things would you say? What would make you so excited? For example, like Bond has been filming under, I don't know, Jackhammer.
What is going to be three syllables, Rizzico?
No.
That wouldn't be the working title, would it? That
yeah, no, just imagine like the first line of like Entertainment Weekly, like
yeah.
Amazing news as it's been revealed that Bond has been filming under the title Jackhammer in, you know, and where would you, what place? The South Pole. Like, whoa, you know, I'm like, woo-hoo! You know, I am buzzing. How would you fill in those blanks? This is proper nonsense.
I'm going to need a minute to think. I mean, bloody hell.
Well, because then I was going to ask you what your title would be. You know, the next line would be, yeah. And we can exclusively reveal the title is.
Oh. I think of all this to look forward to. I mean,
I'm assuming
it comes out in the same way that, the website, the domain name has been taken up, you know.
Yeah, that's usually the clue of some rumbling. Domain names have been snapped up or social media profile names have been taken.
Spoil sports.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I'm just on my way to go and see jackhammer.com as well.
Yeah. I mean, I question your firewall if you're looking up jackhammer.com. Is that an OnlyFans account you're looking at? Or?
I'll just file it next to prison library. Yeah. Desktop. My
desktop. That was an early joke. Off.
Yeah, it was an early joke. I might have to include it. Because a title for Bond, I think this is the hardest thing to come up with. Like a title for a Bond film, I think, because it's so hard to do it without it sounding really trashy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could make it sound, you know...
It does show you how good Fleming was at title. I mean, very clever. I know it's easier that because we've got all the history of the books and the films now, but they're sort of often a play on a phrase, aren't they, or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to pastiche or get them wrong. I always joke, like, when the clocks go back, you know... Technically, that sounds bomb, but it also sounds so, so bad. So naff.
It sounds like, you know, like in the spring. Is it when literally like, one man's eternal struggle to remember.
You can hear the voiceover for the trailer already in your head.
Yeah, you can.
One man stands alone.
Yeah. And he is a man. He's still a man. Yeah. That's a spoiler.
I mean, you say that about titles. Yeah. I mean, I just happen to have a copy of one of your books in front of me. You know, your own Ben Bracken stories have some cracking Bondian titles. So,
thanks, man. One's the name of a made up pub, I think, isn't it?
Yes,
and
maybe not that. Hang on, let's have a look. Where are we?
Oh man, you've got. Oh, dude, thank you so much.
Till morning is night.
Well, I said I'm going on holiday in a couple of weeks. Holiday reading for the past year or so has been one of yours. So
you're gonna have to knock out a few more of these
because I'm running out.
We've pulled back all the rights to the Ben Bracken series, so we're looking for a new home in the in the next few weeks. So. Because I love that guy. As in, that was proper Bond wish fulfillment in a way.
Yeah.
Crossed with every, you know, Van Damme cliche.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that in there, basically.
And those were like my first books as well. So, you know, I'm so glad that you enjoy them, Chris. Thank you. But, I didn't ask if you enjoyed them. I hope they're acceptable.
Thinkers, every one of them.
I always said if I won an award, it would be by accident. But it took me ages to come up with a title for that Timothy Dalton Bond thing, and even that I'm not convinced by. You know?
It is really difficult. Exactly. But I mean, if you're looking for sort of other Bond names, like I've got books scattered around me because I'm packing to move house. Charlie Higson's ones of the young Bond, you know, by royal command, is a pretty good.
Blood Fever. I must admit, I do like
but
that.
But then you've also got all of the John Gardner books. You know, steal a name from that.
If we could. I mean, can I just... this is, again, pub chats are always filled with segues, but I was recently at a Soft Play Centre. And... with my children. I wasn't just... Yeah, I didn't just pop in. You
know, I was hanging out at this Soft Play Centre.
This looks fabulous. So I was at the Soft Play Centre, and there was a birthday party. One of the other dads, you know, from my kids' classes, my youngest lad, all the you know, dads are there doing all sorts, and the mums and dads, sorry, are all sat at tables and whatever. And there's one dad sat there, and he's got a copy on the table of John Gardner's License Renewed.
Ooh.
And he's got. I know. And on top of it, he's got a plastic pistol. And I think this, I need to speak to this guy.
How can you resist?
I bottled it. I totally bottled it.
Yeah.
I know he's a dad of another kid in my kid's class, but it's going to have to be another time. It was too much for me.
You'll remember who it is if you see him again.
Well, I really hope he's not listening because he looked a bit like Mr. B. It's a slight Rowan Atkinson look.
Yeah.
So, Johnny English reading James Bond novelizations.
The most recent brilliant Bond film.
Yeah, well, you know. Oh, well, the finest work by Purvis and Bond.
Absolutely.
It really is. Genuinely is. It's my turn to go to the bar, gents, so I'm going to go and...
You're listening to Real 007, and this is Mariam Darbo, Cara Milovi, from The Living Daylights.
Super stuff. Are we all topped up, refreshed?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Oh, excellent. Oh!
There you go.
Bliss. Oh, here's to us.
If you'd have said that a moment later, I would have sprayed this beer all over. Thank God I hadn't swallowed before.
It's a ruin, yeah.
Right. Do you have your... We go again. Do we have... do we have, like, code names, titles, and... Well, code names, an actor? So what, like... Hang on, let's go back. That if this fantasy article, because this is what we're really hoping for, isn't it? Like some amazing, like James Bond, the new James Bond, James Bond 26 has been filming in blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Go and give us a place.
So I'm going to say the new Bond film titled Forever For Now.
Oh, yes.
Has been filming in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Oh, yeah.
And unknown locales around Australia. Starring as the new villain, Kate Blanchett.
That has got me.
And henchman, Tilda Swinton.
This is outstanding. Goodness. I would bite your hand off.
Absolutely.
For that.
Here it is.
Eon, where are you? Let me have you. so much to unpack there. I watched the Crystal Skull recently. Blanchett is absolutely brilliant in it.
She knows how to sort of. I mean, she's a brilliant actress and she doesn't overact normally, but in that, she properly understands how to ham it up and.
Yeah,
I think she. She looks great in it as well, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that haircut.
Everything. I think Irina Spalko, isn't it? That's the name of the...
Yeah.
That's another great name, isn't
great
it?
Great name, yeah.
Ooh, maybe we could do a villain name as well.
Hang on. Now you'll need to give me a minute.
yeah. We could do a villain name. And you mentioned Tilda Swinton's henchperson.
I cast her androgynously.
Oh, yes. I love that.
You don't know. And I think Tilda would lap that up. Kate, I only came to mind because I saw her in the yellow suit in the Sparks Brothers music video. And I just thought there is a look there that hasn't been done for a Bond villain. And certainly we haven't had enough female villains in the franchise.
Absolutely haven't.
And you would, if you're doing a female villain now, it doesn't need to be a twist. She can be just presented as
She just is. That's it.
Yeah. I'd love, like, could she be like a, like Drax? Or, you know, I love that. A super distant megalomaniac who's just incredible. Like Stromberg as well. I love those guys.
Absolute nutter, basically.
Refusing to get their hands dirty. You know, just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, an absolute distant nutter. I love them. And Blanchett looking like that, doing that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'd love a big control panel that she'd just look and press a button and then half a city would be destroyed.
Oh. Yeah. And she could say something like, bye-bye. Happy bye.
The Cartoon Network version.
Yeah. Tom, do you have an equivalent location?
Like, I won't be able to get anywhere near what Chris has just done. That is incredible. And that's off the cuff as well. Brilliant.
I know, yeah.
I'll leave now if I'm.
No, well, I'd send it to Ian if I'm here.
I'm definitely.
Ferguson Wade will borrow it, won't they? Anyway, is this a holding title role?
Well, yeah, Jackhammer wasn't my actual James Bond.
Yeah, I like
it. It would just be, you know, like some bootleg T-shirts would appear on eBay in 5 years' time. You know, like I worked on, you know, Jackhammer.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Stop laughing. I was best boy or grip on Jackhammer. Key grip on Jackhammer.
So realistic, yeah.
And then, lovely actual things that need doing on a set. Tom, please.
Yeah,
title. So, like, yeah, Dark Harvest, was it Harvest? Dark Harvest was
generally. Yeah, I was thinking of something like
something
Dark
like that.
Castle or. I was going to say, like, Firebreaker, you know, it's a good mix of all these different ones, you know. And then I nearly went Heartbreaker.
A rom-com.
We'll have Firebreaker, and we will have David Strathairn as the villain. Yeah.
Excellent.
And the Bond girl shall be. It's so difficult because all the actors that I'm sort of into are my age or older. There is a bit of a problem that the younger actors, they're sort of everywhere and in every film. You know, like Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
She's very good, but you know that she'll be, you know she's going to be an Oppenheimer because she's the hot young thing and...
Yeah.
But no one will have, you know. So I would have an unknown as the Bond girl. And I think Cavill, if you've got Cavill as the Bond, he's the big name. And you don't need to... You don't need to have like, oh, we've got to have somebody else to just in case it doesn't work with him. I think the attention should be on him, but not all about him.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, Firebreaker with David Strathairn.
What about like the ballad, you know, Firebreaker!
Yeah.
unbelievable. Like I said, I don't know why it's such an 80s hair metal.
But yeah, it has to be upbeat. I think we've concluded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and they would be filming, let's think, they would be filming in Java.
Oh!
Nice.
Yeah, quite difficult to film.
Really
that,
good. Yeah. So, it's almost too nice. This
yeah, like, I hope this doesn't rule it out. Though,
yeah,
said
yeah, it. Like not allowed, you know. Like, yeah. What would really... All right, so what would really upset you? You know, like if that's the... Like, I'd be really happy if this was the headline. What would be like, you know, the absolute opposite? I think it would be...
We're going to start filming in 3 years.
Yes.
Might have to take
Yeah. I mean, that. From a Purvis and Butthead script. It's like, yeah.
I mean, I'd take anything at the moment in terms of the road to me that they wanted to do a new Bond film and they were serious about doing a franchise again. I think I'd be a little bit worried if they announced the director first and it was somebody like, even if I like the director, like Tarantino or, you know, what's his name? I forget
Nolan?
His name. No, Nolan I would take because I know that he'd take it seriously. So what's his name? Scott Pilgrim Against the World, that guy.
Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright.
If it was him, I think... He's too silly for... It's too quirky for me. I wouldn't want him doing a Bond. I'm so sorry.
No, I do agree.
I like Edgar Wright.
Oh, no, I do agree. I just don't know whether you're right. I agree, Tom. I agree with both of you. A fabulous director, but I just don't know whether it would be my pick for Bond. Stylistically, my pick for Bond.
What would it look like, Chris, an Edgar Wright Bond film, actually?
I think you've got to lean in more to his Baby Driver kind of look.
I was thinking of that, mate. Yeah.
Maybe some of the period stuff of Last Night in Soho. Not saying that it would be a period film, but certainly it would have that kind of elegant long shots that take in a lot of movement and a lot of blocking. Kind of like some of Spielberg's work. You know, Spielberg is known for a long shot where there's a lot of blocking and a lot of dialogue and a lot of stuff happens within, you know, that one frame.
And he's an
actor. I think he would be
master of that. I mean, no, it's a redundant point almost. It's almost too obvious to say it, but you're so right. The blocking in Spielberg movies is just, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Would you have it?
You still have Spielberg. I mean, I know it sounds too obvious and, oh, no, he's too old or something. I don't know.
Of course.
Yeah. You can't resist, really. It's that thing of...
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Obviously, he didn't do Bond for one reason or another, so went off and did Indiana Jones.
Mm.
But maybe he is too old to do it. You know, time has moved on, but it's still, it's Spielberg, and it's still going to be everyone bringing their own game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd almost, not comparing the two, if you told me that Guy Ritchie was doing the next Bond film, I wouldn't be offended.
I would not either.
I wouldn't either.
Guy Ritchie 15 years ago, I would have been offended, but...
Well, purely on the basis, purely on the basis of his Sherlock Holmes films.
Mm. Yeah.
They are both rock solid action, serious.
They films. Are superb, aren't they?
And I think they're just masterfully done and hugely underrated. All of his gangster stuff is what he's known for, and that casts such a big shadow over the Sherlock Holmes, Man from U.N.C.L.E., which are a lot more controlled because he's known for the flashy camera work in the gangster stuff.
I
really think if you said Guy Ritchie's going to do it, I'd be like, yeah, okay,
yeah, this would be good.
I thought Aladdin was brilliant.
Really
good.
When he's not directing...
You've lost me on that, but...
Well, no, and when I was thinking it'd be good for Bond, I was thinking, enjoy King Arthur.
These are all...
It's got its moments.
No, I think that, like... Obviously, it's like it's catnip, isn't it? The Bond gig for a director, surely. Surely you want it. You know, if it comes along, you want to have a crack at it. But I think, like, if... Bond, for me, is always best when it's in sandbox mode, where it's just like the sky's the limit of what Bond can and can't do kind of thing, you know? And, like, enjoyment is the pinnacle sort of thing to be attained. And, I think just like most directors to get a chance to do that, like you say about Nolan, Nolan would be awesome. I'm sure he would, you know? Because, like you say, he loves Bond. He obviously loves Bond. What's... Right, here's the thing, right?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Before we move on, I think we are obviously missing the obvious choice for the next director, and that's Martin Campbell.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone who wouldn't take him.
No, 100% hit rate on, you know.
On introducing a new Bond.
Yeah.
And he would do it. I think he said he would do it.
He said he's up for it, and he's got the chops. Bring him in.
That's a great, my head's like pinging with things I want to ask now. Like,
go on.
Like, what colour scheme do you want the poster to be? No, I'm joking.
It's true, though. Those little things in the build-up.
Honestly, they mean so much.
Oh. Yeah. Like, I always say, the world is not enough one, with a silhouette of electric. Wonderful.
Honestly, I thought the... Die Another Day, the Walther in the ice was absolutely incredible. Like, what is going on here? Like sleet and drizzle. Imagine, that would be a bad, you know, like the new one, sleet and drizzle.
Sleet and drizzle.
Oh, there's mizzle. That's another one, isn't it? Like a misty drizzle, mizzle.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
I did. Where did I read it? I don't know.
Twitter.
Possibly Twitter. Yeah. That bastion of the English language.
Well-known doyen of factual information.
is there at the minute, like, I go through mad phases with Bond in that I suddenly realise something about it and it's a fierce feeling. And it's suddenly a hill I'll die on. Is there a current hill you'll die on with Bond? I've got a bunch at the minute that I'm wrestling with. So I can give you examples if you like, but...
No,
Chris, you're ready to go.
I'm ready. I've had a quick think. I'm ready. Recently, I have been listening sort of on loop, on repeat, to A View to a Kill. And I'm thinking, is this the best Bond theme song? Like...
Yeah.
It's really... ramped itself up in my estimation, and I keep thinking, this is cracking. It's absolutely cracking. And why don't more people talk about it, or why isn't it in the top of the top tens?
I agree. It's so original.
It's, It has been with us, Rob, hasn't it?
Yeah. We've always loved it. But you're absolutely right. Why is it not talked about as being like one of the absolute great, not just one of the great songs, but one of the great pop songs?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand. What do people want? They don't want it. I don't. I get it.
Giving you everything.
I know.
Honestly, it's so original. There's no other song that I can think of that sounds like it at all.
And if you haven't done it already, look on YouTube for their live performance at Coachella. And it is awesome. Like, the first half of the song is just him singing on his own, and then suddenly, when the beat drops and then all the rest of the band come in, it is electric. It's absolutely terrific. Go and hunt it out. It's brilliant.
I've always been interested in Coachella ever since Tupac was a hologram at Coachella. And now I'm thinking of Duran Duran doing Future Kill with a hologram of Roger Moore. No, and he's wearing a leather jacket from the fireman scene. Scamming away.
I'd imagine him in that sort of black velvet jumpsuit. Him and Mia. Yes.
Doing insane moves at the front. It's a hologram. Now that's an attraction, Eon. Asking Eon to do it. Like, right, they want movies, they want holograms of actors. These people are never happy.
If they want a break from the ABBA thing, you know, you could have Roger Moore instead for a night. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely right. The sky's the limit with that stuff. It really is. Tom, is there a hill you'll die on at the minute?
Is this for the new Bond or just for
anything? No, just general, like a Bond opinion that you might have suddenly come along and you're really passionate about.
That reminded me then, and it links with this. I think it'd be funny to see an AI Bond, but I wouldn't want an official. I wouldn't want them messing about like Sean Connery. He's in the, you know, we're going to make a Sean Connery Bond. No, because I know Tom Hanks has said he's going to sell his rights, his image rights, after he dies.
What?
I don't know whether it's like certain studios or certain directors or certain things can use his likeness in AI.
Goodness me.
There's a video from I think he's one of our fans. I think he's called Rich Douglas, and he does Bond music on YouTube. It's good. Check him out. But I don't know whether he'd done it, but an AI-generated trailer for Never Say Never Again, but you know, generic Bond, and you know, all it's very Rob. It's
what?
So messed up.
That's insane.
Technology is not there yet, basically. But yeah,
that's. I had no idea Tom Hanks was doing that though, because that's a very real thing that will happen. And of course, it will. Like, can you imagine being a living actor? And this asks a great big existential question of us all, actually, as consumers of what is under the broad category of art, is how happy you are to consume, you know, AI created work. How do actors feel? You know, like young actors coming through, knowing that they might lose roles to an AI Tom Hanks. Because we get that at the minute in books. One of the big, London Book Fair wasn't that long ago, and they always talk about, one of the big things about London Book Fair is the deals that get announced. You know, someone signed a blah blah blah, however much big deal, however much big, great English.
You can expect more of that language from Bracken Thriller. The morning is nigh. Available at all good bookshops.
It's much good.
Oh, heck, should I throw it away now?
if that's the standard. So one of the big takeaways was a guy has done a big deal for a fantasy series written by an AI program. Like, just what are we up against here? You know, like, are we up against?
It's not new in that there are two examples in film that I can give. That Laurence Olivier's image was used in Sky Captain.
Oh, Tomorrow.
The Jude Law.
That was complete. The Jude Law movie, and that was completely animated. So it wasn't AI, but it's sort of getting close to that, taking someone who is dead and putting them into a film.
Yeah.
And then also they used Marlon Brando in Superman Returns, and that wasn't footage that was shot and never used. That was new stuff generated.
Yeah.
Using his likeness.
They did,
but
do
not
it
necessarily the... AI, but it's it's getting
still scary though.
They did it in Rogue One, didn't they? With Carrie Fisher and
they did, yeah.
Fishing, yeah.
They did. And of course, the Oliver Reed Gladiator example is a bit different because he sort of like he perished during filming, didn't he? So that kind of forced the issue of it. It wasn't like a creative choice,
But you saying this is, you know, we're nearly there. People are thinking, oh, it's going to be ages away before we're going to get something like a random AI-generated Bond film. But I can quite easily see with some of the programs that are available out there, someone's going to make a version of Diamonds Are Forever starring George Lazenby.
Oh, wow.
Connery with Lazenby in the film that exists, or if they're going to go off and make their own version of Diamonds Are Forever, which is a revenge. And it actually features Telly Savalas as Blofeld rather than...
Whoa.
It's not that far off. People are, you know, even if they made a trailer of it, that would be amazing.
I mean, we'd want the Eon to get on with new original Bond films, but we'd be hypocritical and watch those, wouldn't we? This is unbelievable, guys. Watch this.
Yeah, look at this. Because I enjoy those trailers, you know, of...
Yeah.
Like, is it... is it Film Fictus?
The Twitter
account? Yeah. That he does of... he did one of Roger Moore in No Time to Die, didn't he? And I'm watching it like, I'm watching that. Yeah. I'm watching that. But that... Total side issue, but that does remind me of that brilliant pub fact. And while we are in the virtual pub, it's worth bringing up. If Lazenby had held Bond for the amount of years or the same age that Roger did, he'd have still been Bond in like Tomorrow Never Dies or something like that. It's absolutely astonishing. And I also want to see that in AI as well. Just show it me. A scene. Just show me a scene. Like, you know, that whole...
aged Lazenby.
Lazenby.
Aged B. Sorry, Ryan, it's not on me. Oh, dearie me.
They've got to get the voice, though, because in those, they've just superimposed the face. I want to AI to do sort of, you know, Sean Connery in... Well, no, yeah. If it was that in Diamonds with George Lazenby, I'd want his voice as well somehow.
The thing is, we've got enough of their voice in period for it to be able to match up and synth something new. You know, you've got...
Oh, okay.
You know, how long was On Her Majesty's? 2.5 hours? Knocking on for 3 hours worth of dialogue?
Yeah. Obviously,
so it's possible. Hillary Bray wasn't his voice.
Yeah.
Hillary Bray.
Okay, AI. Maybe we don't have that amount of
AI back then. There's a robot speaking on this.
I'm thinking I want to see David Suchet's Poirot episodes and movies like redone with Hillary Bray as Poirot. I think that would be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Blimey. But certainly, in my day job in advertising recently, I had to do a very quick edit. And we didn't have time to do a new voiceover, so we went to one of these AI machines, typed in the script, and it gave us the voice in the right American female style. Wow. And then we just tweaked it with another AI program that can change tone and intonation. Yeah. It's here already.
I'm thinking now, you know that.
And the sound studio that we then sent the voice to, and we said, "Oh, who recorded this?" And we're like, "Oh yeah, we just AI'd this." They were not happy.
I bet they were.
Wow. But
But yeah, but they did it. Bless them.
Sheesh. If it's radio as well, I'm tenaciously thinking, can you imagine that? Hello, this is Honor Blackman, and you're listening to Really 007.
I mean,
I'm sorry. I would never do that.
The sky is abruptly the limit. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. The Skynet is abruptly the limit.
Yeah, very good. Very good. No, Rob, you should listen to YouTube, Michael Jackson, AI. Honestly, it's unbelievable, yeah. It's sort of, they've been able to sort of make it sound like his voice on different songs, you know, like a cover of something.
Mm.
It's, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because it's based on his own voice, it's not a robot has created the voice.
Yeah.
It's still fake. I'm not in any way encouraging it, you know. Michael did not give his blessing to this. Not in any way.
First name terms. I love
it. Yeah, it's very
wrong.
I know
for a fact Michael didn't.
You know, yeah. I don't think he might have actually done it.
In what capacity do you represent him in the legal?
Jackson State, yeah. No.
So, do you guys have any like burning discussion topics that are on your mind that need dragging out, kicking and screaming into the light?
Like something
is it just the way I described? Is there anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, yeah. Wrong,
I mean, yeah. There's the house move, but apart from that,
yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
No,
you're trying to get away from that. That's the whole point.
I know. Composer, composer. Who would you like to compose?
John Williams.
Yeah.
Just give it to him. Just please. He said he wants to do it. He's let's not beat around the bush.
Yeah.
Aged. And
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I'm sorry, but he's in his 90s. John Glenn is in his 90s. Let's get them both back.
Let's get the band together.
Yeah.
Together.
Well, you could have Martin Campbell with, you know, John Glenn helping with the, you know,
just
the action scene. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether, like, I would watch John Glenn shoot anything at all in the world. I just adore that man so much. John Glenn, Jackhammer.
We had the idea of Jackhammer. We went over to Happen Again to start filming. And I tell you, Arthur Wooster, he showed it so well in the rushes. And Roger.
Roger, you know, is this the AI version? You know,
it wasn't really Roger, of course. Well, you know that. Yeah. Oh, imagine.
He occupies such... He's like... There are very few people that I hold, like... That we all do. You know, like, we've got, like, places in your heart for people that hold, like, elite levels of affection in your heart. And, like, he is, like, just in that category underneath, like, my grandfather's. Like, I adore him that much. Like, he is just the most wonderful...
Oh, yeah.
...wonderful man. Kind of emotional just even thinking about him, to be honest. It's ridiculous as someone who's had an hour of chatting with him on, you know, like, but
yeah,
he was that wonderful.
He was. He's just...
Yeah. Yeah.
With the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the directors that they get on board with there and that they bring back again and again, it's that thing of, oh, yes, they've directed 3 or 4 of the MCU films and lauded in public, and it's great. Yeah. And here's this guy that's done 5.
Yeah.
And you say his name and no one's bloody heard of him. It's...
No. He wouldn't want it any other way, though, isn't it? You know...
No, that's the thing as well. He wouldn't. And like, because he's the last person, I think, who's... I hate that expression, clout. Horrible expression now.
Yeah.
But he's the last person ever to chase clout into.
Yeah.
You know, he'd that's never why do you that.
In his 90s, you can still chat to him about Bond, and he still embraces his fans, Bond fans.
Well, now I'm starting the petition for John Williams and John Glenn's version of Jackhammer. Can you imagine the score? If you said to John Williams, we're calling it Jackhammer, like, the score?
Yeah, yeah.
Oof, invasive.
Yeah, and then some.
It would be. Well, I mean, they did get Hans Zimmer, didn't they? You know, who normally they might not have gone for somebody who's such a big name like that. So I think that, yeah, there's a chance. It just depends how long it's going to take to film.
Well, this is true. I think that could be a hill I'm prepared to perish upon. Hans Zimmer's score for No Time to Die is really good.
Good. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris.
It's fine. No, this is good.
I just think it relies too much on past glories.
Do agree with that too. But I don't think that's actually his fault. I think this is what the film is about, is relying on past glories. Like, it's relying on the fact that we love James Bond so much that we'll go to these pretty disastrous places with him. And disastrous is really selling that short, you know, like, so. It's funny, I keep thinking of it as the sad James Bond theme. You know, when he starts climbing the ladder, and it's like a sad version of the theme. It's the same four notes, just saddened. I don't know what the expression is. Is it a minor key, or was it?
No, it is. It's a minor key. It's downbeat. It's designed to pull the emotion down, and you know what's coming. It just I can't talk about it. It's still too. It's raw. It's an open wound still.
Does that mean?
Urinated in it, Chris. I just urinated in that open wound. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like a jellyfish sting.
Oh, I'm going to sterilize it, but no.
This'll help.
See more like this in next year's Jackhammer.
The pre-title sequence, Henry Cavill comes out of the water and pisses on somebody.
Well, you say this in Thunderball, you know, when they come out of the water and Domino steps on a...
Yeah.
Oh, what is it? He has to suck the poison out of her.
Urchin,
The urchin. You don't bite the sting out of someone. What you do is you urinate on them to neutralize it.
Yeah.
So we could have had Sean Connery urinating on on Domino.
I mean, they're two very beautiful people, but even that, I think, might. The Fleming estate might have. Yeah.
There's already, you know, like, loads of upset about Connery's behaviour through a modern lens. Like, the phone-ins would be off the scale. What about his Thunderball when he comes out of the sea and he pisses on Domino?
How dare they change the original where he pisses all over him?
Right, gents.
On which we die.
The hill I'll die on is demanding proper first aid of Domino's urchin sting. Well, gents.
Yeah, something you did want to talk about was the Bond for the Young. Wasn't it? That was one of the...
Yes! Oh, blimey. In the excitement, I totally forgot. Because Bond is not for the young anymore, is it? It's not at all. Like, my son is into Bond simply because I am. And because I've shown him the older films. You can't show young people the present films at all. Or the current canon of films, or whatever you want to call it. So how would you make... I mean, I don't know whether it's a simple question or it's not a simple question. Would you make the Bond films more accessible and enjoyable for children? And how would you go about it?
I would make the Bond films more accessible because that is your future audience. There is no other way about it. If you keep Bond for older demographics, the young will never get into it, and you'll be lucky to catch any sort of percentage because my father liked it. You've got to make it accessible for everyone. You know, GoldenEye when it was released back in the mid-90s, was a family film. And it was...
Well, maybe apart from the Chuck Farrell there.
Ah, senor!
I think, Chris, we had to leave the room.
I can't breathe. Hoo-wee!
Yes, it was a 12. Yes.
I will accept there are some uncomfortable scenes.
No, sorry, we're having fun, but you're right. You are right, though, you know.
But, you know, generally, it was
yeah.
a film for everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then if you go to watch, heck, if you go to watch Casino Royale, not every child is going to know poker, and not everyone is going to get the whole betrayal subplot, and it, you know, you're just lost. And then the fact that there is no merch that is easily accessible for the kids to go with it. The yeah. obvious example is the computer games, but even just down to the toys, there's just nothing.
Well, there could have been
Marley toys. Like, so tonight I was at Smith's Toy Superstores because I promised the kids if they slept in their beds, own beds for 10 nights straight, I would take them to Smith's Toy Superstores. And I didn't realise this would make
your family dynamic that...
Well, I didn't realise it would solve it in 10 nights. So, yeah. So bribery obviously works. But I went there and there's RoboCop toys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, if you make the toys, the kids will buy them. Yeah, Aliens toys. Yeah. Like, no kid, no one's watching that. I remember not long ago seeing a Predator action figure.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. James Bond is too dour now. I think, yeah. You know, like, that stuff is too...
Maybe.
Noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure if this will show up on the screen, but just, can you
see? Oh, well, it's the classic ones.
So
isn't it?
Cool. It is the classic ones. That is so. Friends in the pub, in the virtual pub, what Chris is showing is a picture of, I'm guessing that, is that your young lad, Chris?
So that's my boy. He came down into the cinema room downstairs and he saw the Lotus Esprit from For Your Eyes Only, the seaplane from License to Kill, and my little Moonraker with the satellite inside. And he just started playing with them and just flying them around and having a ball. And then he was asking, what are these? I was like, oh, well, you know, James Bond, although he's never seen a film yet. I'm waiting to share one with him. James Bond. These are the cars that he uses. These are the aeroplanes that he uses. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it's just planting the seeds for what's to come, the movies, the books, the everything, and that he would want to watch them because he's played with the toys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basic how to pull these people in. I mean, that sounds awful because it's like indoctrination, but...
It's capturing the
movie world, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It is, but it's like it was about like endless possibility. James Bond was always about endless possibility of adventure, you know. Like, and that's like what toys did. Like, so they did a Playmobil did Aston Martin,
Of course,
and that was absolutely great. But it wasn't any of the present day stuff. It was a Goldfinger Aston Martin. Yeah. You know, like, why would you? Like, let's have a Playmobil set of James Bond tormenting Madeline until she has a psychotic breakdown. It's not
best features.
Yeah, yeah. Or you know, you can't have the films that you know the. We know my position on it. I don't need to know about it. But like, if they're not enjoyable, for me, let alone for kids. You know, like,
yeah.
And why would you show a kid this? Yeah. Like, forgive me as well. I don't want my kids seeing like, if you were a baby, wouldn't you be naked? I don't want a family. Dear me. Oh no, that's what that is. That's AI dialogue. Is what that is. Oh, yeah. Just like you know, like, would you mind coming in here to have a look for some stationery?
Rob, I think AI will be like, no, no.
Yeah, AI called it a day. Like, no, 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 no.
Even what we have some limits.
What do you think is the last Bond film that you could show to your kids, Rob? Do you think bits of Dying of the Day, obviously?
Yeah, I did. No, this is exactly right. I did. I've never shown them a Craig because what are they going to enjoy?
Yeah.
Seriously, what are they going to enjoy out of those films? Like, seriously, as a kid watching an adventure film, there is nothing in those films they're going to enjoy. Seriously.
I completely agree with you, but just to bring it up, what film would you introduce a kid to Bond with? Because I've been
Bond
thinking
film.
About this. Yeah, what's the first...
I was going to ask you the same question, Chris. Like, which is the what's the first one you're going to treat your young lad to?
I'm thinking it's going to be The Spy Who Loved Me. Because it's got that just the right level of sort of comic book action, but serious and fun. It's got Jaws in that everybody loves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it just works. Some of the older ones, I think, are too much a period film now. Like,
yes, I don't think
Dr. No would work, and I don't think From Russia with Love would work. Goldfinger, you could probably get away with.
Yeah.
Because it's shiny, big, brassy, explosive. Yes, the golf scene might drag a little bit for a young mind, but it's over fairly quickly. It just whips along. So I think it's going to be Spy Who Loved Me. It might have to be in two sittings because his attention span is not great. But, you know, if you pause it at the right point and then you open with the second half being the Laparis action scene, then you're well away.
Agree. You know. Don't disagree. And I'd also agree with, like, so I've tried with the kids. I think the Brosnans, I've shown them bits and pieces of the Brosnans, not because the Brosnans have very hard edges at times. You know, like Paris Carver's death, obviously Chuck Farrell. this one's an admirable. Sheesh. certainly the action sequences. So we watch... I went through a phase before we sat them down and watched a full one. We watched certain action sequences, like, and I just picked the best ones. As in, like, not the best ones, but, like, just really totally pulsating action sequences. So we watched World Is Not Enough for PTS quite a lot.
Yeah.
Octopussies, now that's a, you know, like, we watched that on a Sunday afternoon and everyone was just absolutely wrapped. Of course you would be, wouldn't you? Took them to the cinema to watch Live and Let Die. They all loved it. They were all totally obsessed with Knick Knack. Loved Knick Knack.
Now, the thing is, Man with a Golden Gun is just so cigarette brown sleazy.
It is the most brown film, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
But fair enough. It's sort of the softest in terms of violence because no one dies really.
No.
Off the end.
Wow.
Scaremonger. Yeah, I'm not sure I could quite explain what the Bottoms Up Club is to.
I did have that awkward conversation. You know, like, and then, you know, like, why has she got a bottom out?
Well, my boy, there are certain bars that people like to go to.
It was a bit like, so we drove through Blackpool one day, about one in the afternoon, and we drove along the, you know, like where all the pubs are, and this, you know, like driving along and like, honestly, some of the sights, the kids got the biggest education ever. Like Sylvia, like this woman was in the window at one in the afternoon with a top off, like doing things with her anatomy, and you know, my daughter was like, you know, like, that lady's got her boobies out. I don't know why she was, you know, abruptly from not where I live. Honestly, like the actress, like, I've been trying to explain it, like, she's having a really good day. I guess I don't know how else to put it. Like, what do you say? You know, she's having a lovely day.
That's what she thinks the Blackpool Illuminations are now. Driving by.
Driving by, flashing your breasts. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, dear me.
Oh, dear. I hope that, and I look forward to hearing how his first Bond movie goes. I'm sure he'll love it.
I hope so. We did. He's been raised so far on a healthy diet of just Disney films, but animated. And I'm trying to bring in live action.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks ago, we sat down of a Sunday morning early and we just put on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and watched it from beginning to end and loved it. Didn't get scared of Child Catcher, wanted another song, and just, and that's a long film.
Yeah, so, I know.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, 2.5 hours.
We did pause it in the intermission for a toilet break, but he came back and just was completely in it again, and that was great. So that's a good sort of beginning for...
How good is that?
...live-action films. We did Herbie Fully Loaded as well.
Another good one.
Which, surprisingly, I was like, this is actually a good film. How did this come? So, yeah, I've just got to give it a bit more time.
Yeah.
And then get him into it. It'll be great. Fingers crossed.
It's a special moment, isn't it, though? You know, you know that whenever you decide to show your son a Bond film, as it's happening, you're like, I can't wait for my son to tell him about this moment in 20 years or whatever. You know, when he's 18, like, son, do you remember this? When you saw...
Yeah.
When you saw the...
I showed you the Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dad, it was fucking awful.
Which prefer that, Daniel Craig? Yes.
Yeah. Right, get
out. Why son's Northern.
We're no longer related. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Oh, don't come at me, Twitter. Don't go.
Yeah. Why didn't you show me License to Kill?
Yes. Now we're talking. In fact, honestly, there is this thing that I treasure so much now. So I am... this is a way around the houses way of talking about this, but I am a user of Sky. You know, the subscriber of Sky. User.
I have a confession to make. I'm a user.
I'm a user
of Jackhammer.
So we have Sky at home. That's what I'm saying. And you have that button that you press, the red R button, record to the hard drive, that kind of thing. But they have like this crafty thing where the boxes are theirs, aren't they? You know, like, so if it's part of the contract, the box is actually theirs. So, and I found this out because my dad changed his Sky box recently. And he still had the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony on his other one. And they were like, sorry, sir, we're going to take it. He was like, but the Olympic opening ceremony, you know, like, which we were both there at. And that's why it was sentimental to him.
Yeah.
So like, but he recorded it that night on this Skybox. And like now, like, well, those scoundrels, they've taken it, you know. Now on my Skybox at home, I've got the 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon cut of License to Kill, which has all the...
Is the family-friendly version.
Yes.
Yeah. The family-friendly version of License to Kill, which is a little harder than you think as well, actually, because it was shown on 2 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah,
there's Felix Leiter's leg. Hang on.
Yeah. I do think there's a place for that, though. I do. You know... I know on Twitter, every time, you know, we sort of do a post saying, License to Kill, or I don't know, Quantum of Solace or something is on at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m.
Yeah.
We'll always get a comment like, oh, the rubbish, they'll cut it, adverts, they'll cut it. Like, this is quite interesting. Does it be interesting to see whether it works for a start?
Yeah.
And then anything that's a bit more accessible like that, I think is a good thing for them.
Well, if you take out the swearing and the violence of the shark attack and, you know, the whole honeymoon stuff, it's honestly, the kids think it's electric. They think it's electric. So, like, it's a coveted protect. Like, I can't unsubscribe from Sky now. Yeah. I'll take my 2 o'clock License to Kill edit.
You know, there's got to be a version out there you can download.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because this version is brilliant, because it's got that, it keeps like the Indiana Jones level of violence. You know, like, whoa, but not too much. You know,
Like, so you don't see the lighter's leg, for example. There is a fine line. There is a fine line. But it's superb. To have, it's superb. And I don't know, maybe there's a black market out there. Listeners, please, fellow virtual pub goers, if there is a way that you know of ripping something off a Sky device, probably going to get myself in a lot of trouble for saying that. But I'd really like this.
We do not advocate piracy on this podcast, but at the same time, do let us
know. No. You wouldn't steal a car, apparently.
Yes, good.
Yeah. People do. And they still do.
I did find that image funny when they used to show that advert at the cinema. You know, you wouldn't steal a car. No, you wouldn't do, you know, be next to someone like just filming the tripod, you know, all ready to film. It's funny when they used to come on YouTube on a like full movie, like terrible quality, you know.
Yeah, people getting up for a wee, like, you know, the audience.
Yeah. Can you just keep the camera steady for me while I'm having a wee? Yeah.
I know. I think the first time I saw that, like something like that spoiled on the internet was, do you remember, was it like X-Men? And the post-credit scene was like, Moira.
Hello, Moira. Yeah.
Moira. As if we've got there tonight, honestly. As if that's happened. So, gents, I think last call. Buy me a pint. That didn't work.
No, it did. It did.
What's the voice? Buy me a pint.
If you're enjoying Really 007, why not follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram? Look us up at Really 007 Pod.
So the taxis possibly are outside, I think, by this point. Oh, I've just had a lovely evening. Just what I needed tonight, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been delightful.
It's been brilliant, Rob.
Ah, great. It's been great to see you both. Has that helped the house move woes slightly, Chris, or has it exacerbated the problem?
Yeah. It's still there. Yeah.
I've wasted 2 hours talking about forever for now.
Yeah. And I could have been packing.
Michael comes home like, what's been done?
What is happening?
Well, I've got this lovely podcast with the boys.
Yeah. Oh dear.
And some notes about a fictional fan Bond film. With the best
coming
casting
soon to an AI film near you.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh dear. Well, peace and love. Great to spend time with you both. And get home safely as well. And tip your taxi drivers as well. I don't know why I said that. I just think that it's probably a nice thing to do.
Give them a five-star rating.
Your five-star rating. Yeah, I think like it's hard out there, isn't it? We've got to love each other. Yeah. Goodness me. He's got to go in the house now and pretend that he's not wobbling everywhere. Those umpteen attempts to get in the back door with the same key.
Too much information, Rob.
Don't do something in the water.
Prison library ass.
Yeah. And on that bombshell.
Yeah. See you at the pub same time tomorrow then, yeah?
Yeah. Dear me. Really don't.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.